The team at Violent Gentlemen saw what I could do at their weekly skate and decided it was time to make our relationship official. Proud to announce the newest sponsor of the Eat 'Em Up podcast, Orange County's finest Violent Gentlemen Hockey Club. Millsy's here. We got Ryan Miller joining Eat 'Em Up. And Millsy, hey, how are you?
Hello, Emerson.
You thought probably you were going to be done with me post-career, and now I keep bothering you, and I keep coming back. How does that make you feel?
Makes me feel warm and fuzzy, bud.
Oh.
Yeah.
I thought that was, okay, I thought it was a disruptor. So, okay.
We're old teammates. It's fun to see you.
No, we always got along, and I'm just glad that I put off good energy. I wasn't sure, but yeah. You seem to think so, so.
Yeah, you admit something.
Well, hey, we're honest here on Eat 'Em Up. You know that. Yeah. We saw each other recently at the Ducks Day at Disneyland, February 22nd, if I'm not mistaken. Yep.
Yeah.
What a time that was. Tell me about your day there.
Great day. We got my brother Drew to come back in town for that as a Ducks alumni as well. And he's got two girls and I got my son and my daughter, and it was a great time to get the cousins together in a magical place. So shout out to the Ducks for making that happen, and also the shout out to the Ducks fans for making it happen too, because we were walking around the park and just tons of Ducks jerseys, hats, people who were excited to have the players out and to celebrate the hockey club. So yeah, that was cool to see. And I think it's cool for my brother to see coming back. He has not been around the Ducks vibe in a while. He finished his career with the Red Wings, and he's now president of the Red Wings alumni. So yeah, getting him back in the Ducks jersey, getting him out here, that was something cool.
How do you do with rides yourself? Have you been a ride guy, or do they scare the living you know what out of you?
You know what? I have traditionally been a person who shies away from all roller coasters, to the point where I think Noreen, my wife, and I went to Disney one time when we were still maybe dating or just got engaged, and I was having trouble like even on like Goofy's Symphony ride. Like, I am terrible on rides, but I was trying to inspire my son this time, and I went on the Incredicoaster.
Oh, that's a classic there.
I went from like 0 to 100, like
just buzzing.
I've never go on things that would ever put you upside down. Not my thing.
So you haven't been on Accelerator at Knott's, because that's kind of the same thing. It just launches you.
No, I really don't do those things. I've been on like the, I guess when I went on, it was the Hollywood House of Horrors or whatever. What's it called? Guardians of the Galaxy ride now, where it just drops you.
Oh, yes.
Yeah. Like, I'll do little things like that, but I was just kind of like, I don't like to be jerked around, flipped upside down, and go really, really, really fast, out of control feeling. But somehow I just was like, you know what? It's time I faced that. And I went on the Incredicoaster.
Good for you.
Yeah.
I'm happy for you. Thanks. What about like in the Midwest? So you're from the Midwest.
Yeah.
There are always those insane Six Flags in like the Midwest.
Yeah.
Was there, what was like the top of the line theme park? Where did the Millers go to when it came to theme parks in Michigan?
Well, I think my family's experience with theme parks has always been like going to Florida. Like, my grandparents are down there. We'd end up down there. Funny enough, my dad traveled a lot for his work, where he'd be gone for long stretches. And this is before like, you know, cell phones, all that stuff. So like, he was on a really long trip. I think he's in like Asia doing some stuff. And he'd call my mom's like, hey, pack up the car. We're going to go Florida. So we packed the car, and like, we're not paying attention to the news. We're younger. My mom's dealing with like, I think at the time had to be like, well, yeah, probably had like 4 kids. So like, we don't know what's going on. We pack up the car and drive down, and it's in the middle of Hurricane Andrew.
No way.
And so we hit Georgia about the time everyone's leaving.
Oh my.
And we were like riding out the storm in like a hotel basement, but the perk of that was that we got to Orlando and...
Well, you got closer.
Well, as it passed by and we got to Orlando, and you're catching the back end of the weather, and we were going to the theme parks. There's like no one there. We had ponchos and like strapped on sandals.
Oh,
and
my
like
gosh.
We went, like, you get done with a ride, they just be like looking at you like, so you want to go again or what? Because there's no one in line.
So epic. So epic.
We did have like a great memory from that. Like, kind of like, oh, that's weird how that worked out. But definitely don't suggest doing it. But it worked out.
So you mentioned Drew, your brother. And that was the first time I met Drew.
Yeah.
What a guy. Both of you extremely nice and humble individuals. It's almost like you guys were competing who is going to be the nicer guy the whole day, that day, honestly.
Yeah.
With that said, what's your relationship like with your brother?
I think it's pretty good. I think life kind of gets you busy when we have kids and we live so far apart now, but it's been great to get together. Like this summer we were in Michigan back in the lake with family and, you know, out on the boat, hanging out, talking a little bit and getting him back here and just having some time to just sit around and with his wife and his kids and just kind of throw it back to the old days. Because I think we had a really long stretch where we were together a lot, having a lot of fun. When I came back to I lived away from home for a little bit before I came back to go to school at Michigan State. So my family lives in East Lansing. My parents still do. And by the time I got back there, he was still in high school. So, you know, able to be around for a lot of his stuff then. And then as he kind of moved through juniors and I was turning pro, skating, training, coming back in the summers, you know, hanging out together, doing stuff, had a lot of fun. But like I said, life takes you a different direction and we got the kids, we got everything full tilt, so would love to have more time with them, so it's great to have them out here.
Who was the troublemaker growing up? Who was the goody two shoes?
Well, I'm the oldest in the family, so by default I have to take that role of follow the rules, right?
Yeah. And
we like to call Drew the habitual line crosser. Like he will
the instigator.
Yeah, he will always get something going, but he does it in the kind of a unique way where like I feel like he's a good leader. Like
yeah.
People want to follow him. He's got a good friend group. He's got a lot of a lot of friends going way back, teammates and stuff that I know really look up to him. But my joke with him was he just should get a tattoo just on the end of his big toe, just a straight line, because he's always got one toe over the line.
Well, Drew, I know a couple people, so if you want to get that tat, just give me a holler. When it came to mini, did you guys have mini sticks?
Oh yeah,
back in the day.
Yeah, we had a pretty good setup. We finished off like in Michigan, everyone's got a basement, right? So like my parents finished it off. My one of the guys I grew up playing with, his dad was a carpenter, and like he came and I remember him rebuilding the whole basement for us and putting it together. And then so like there's a couple bedrooms down there for me and my brother, and then on the other side was like a living room. And then my parents put a couch and like TV, but behind the couch is like this play area. And it had just enough space for like the best mini stick rink ever. Like
sick.
It was like you could bounce stuff off the walls, but
sick. The bounce off the walls, that's pretty epic.
Yeah. And we had I remember taking my mom, we'd beg her, we'd go to the toy store, we go like this, like back in Michigan, it's called Myers.
It's 100%. Like I remember. Yeah.
It's kind of like Target for those who don't know, but like Myers is pretty cool. And we'd always try to beg her to get the Nerf pop guns. Remember those?
Yeah.
Come with like three foam balls, but like the perfect size for like mini sticks,
the three pack.
Yeah, but you have to buy the whole gun. And she just gets so mad because we'd like for a while we're like, yeah, that's the greatest thing ever. Then we just like pop the balls out and play hockey with it. And then we'd like lose them.
Yeah.
Have to get another gun. And she's like, you know, like what is she gonna do? She wants us to have some fun. But no, it was a lot of fun. And I do remember like we had this like one support pole for the basement was like in the space, and like it got like boxed in so it looked like nice, and that thing just got demolished or run into, and there's a lot of injuries and stuff. I think we went through the drywall at one point. So
Millsy came from a very affluent family that he had to get the gun with the three pack every time he lost the balls. That's how we know.
Yeah.
Competing in general, who won more? Like who brought home more hardware just growing up? When it came to ball grass sports, if you had, or even hockey in general, who won more? growing up between you or Drew? Or was it, well, did you both win literally every single time the same time together?
No, I think we were far enough apart. We never played together. Sadly, that was something what I would have hoped to have had the chance to do when we turned pro. It just never worked out. And, but I mean, he probably hockey wise, he probably started winning a lot more. He was on like the original Honey Bake team, which is now like a power program over there over the years in Michigan. And I think, I mean, if you go through the list of his teammates who played pro hockey or played high level college, it's just like, it's like every kid on like a 10-year-old team like ended up being like super high end. So like,
who were some of the names?
Like,
if you can remember.
Yeah, like David Booth, Corey Potter played at Michigan State with him. You know, Ryan Kessler. Yeah, a lot of guys. Vicari was their goalie. He played at Michigan State. I mean, there's going to be kids I'm missing just because I'm blanking out, but like it was a pretty sick team.
How was it growing up playing around that depth of just talented and really historic clubs? You got Bell Tire, CompuWare, Honey Baked, Little Caesars, all that around you growing up. Like, what was that like?
Well, some of the teams, you're aging me because some of those teams weren't around.
Okay, who wasn't around with what I said? Bell Tire must have been around. No?
No, like we were Michigan Nationals, GPD.
Nationals.
Like, you're going way back here. Like, see, you don't even know what I'm talking about. I played for the Michigan Nationals.
You call me a 21st century kid? Is that what you're calling me?
Yeah, I just think you don't know. You don't know. You don't know puck.
I don't know puck. I need a map and a compass. I'm lost.
Yeah. So yeah, going way back, but we definitely had we were with the West Michigan Warriors.
Why do what that rings a bell?
Yeah, they were around for a bit. Yeah. I think maybe there's. I don't know if they're around now, but
how about that? This is so random. Did you hear about that girl that was funneling money from Oakland, the Oakland Grid? I think it was the, I'm not going to name names. I think it was a team out of Oakland, Oakland, Michigan. No,
I haven't heard about it.
Anyway, some team manager was funneling the team funds. Unfortunately, yeah. Check it out. It was just a tragic story. So
sadly, but you hear about some of that stuff.
With that said, what is more hot right now? SoCal hockey, and your son is involved in SoCal youth hockey around here. What is hotter right now? The Detroit hockey youth hockey area or the Southern California youth hockey area?
Temperature or
no, just like competitiveness.
Well, I mean, it's really hard to compete with the Michigan product. I mean, they've for AAA level, some of the teams in the Detroit area are just probably some of the best in the nation by far. Honestly, like Little Caesars is pretty consistent. I think, you know, CompuWare, I don't know is if they're as competitive now. Bell Tire has some teams. But I mean, Little Caesars has become kind of the pinnacle. There are, from what I'm kind of hearing now, is like there's regionally, like there's some big clubs coming out of like Chicago, St. Louis, club, you know, teams like that. Minnesota's still got their prep high school model. So so I think Michigan still has that big part of their identity is club level hockey, like, and they do a good job.
What is one goalie specific piece of advice that you would give a youth goalie playing right now, both on the ice and off the ice?
Well, I think on the ice, you just have to constantly be working on your footwork. Skating, goalie specific stuff is great. I mean, you don't have to be doing laps with the boys. Work in the crease, get out of the net, get behind the net, be able to skate, be able to move. Then off the ice is probably more for like the older kids. It's like, I think the biggest strength area we see is the kids aren't strong in their core, which is natural. Like as you're growing, you're just not going to have a strong core. But that's going to make a big difference, not for like the 10-year-olds, but like, you know, you start to get up there, you really have to put in some time to your core, because the goaltending positions just change so much. You have to be in a lot of different starting positions, integrate into the post, keep yourself in certain kind of butterfly save situations. And if you have a poor technique, it really stands out, and usually it's core derived.
I'm going to toss something out. And I think people, if the youth goalies are listening to this, they're thinking, okay, what core? I think you could just do side planks, front planks.
Just moving.
You know what I mean? Like, if, hey, on the spot, what's like one thing how I could work on my core right before going to bed? It's like, yeah. Jágr, I feel like there was a story that he did like 1,000 squats before bed or some crazy, you know what I mean? Like some crazy number.
He probably didn't even feel it.
Exactly. So animal. I think that's just one of those, hey, I can gain an edge right before bed by doing your core work, yeah, as a piece of advice, just side planks, front planks, boom. And yeah, there you have
something.
It.
I think something. And just as if you are a much younger player, I think just other sports. I think I noticed with my son, like hockey season ended last year. He got right into baseball and they ended up having to be the catcher for quite a while. And my son doesn't play goalie, but like I noticed after he was done with the baseball season, from getting up and down out of the catcher gear, in that stance, like I was like, oh my God, like he looks way stronger. Like essentially you're doing rotations, throws, squats, like, up and down, you're having to run and jog. And I was like, wow, like it showed up in his other sports, for like soccer, hockey, all that stuff.
I feel like to that point, it's good to do something that you either don't want to do, don't like doing, or just getting a different perspective in general, you know what I mean?
And hide it in something fun.
Yeah, true.
Like that was, how many times, like when we would practice, it was like the hidden bag skate. Like the coaches would come up with something difficult, but it was like they make it competitive.
Yeah.
And then you're like, everyone wants to win. And then by the end of it, everyone's dead tired. And the coaches are kind of like laughing, like,
yeah,
they fell for it.
Yeah.
They had fun and they got stronger. Ha. Huh.
Like my mom always said, Emmer, go read a book. You know, just do something you don't want to. You know, hey, do you think, switching topics here, still on the hockey topic, of course, but San Jose Sharks, Ducks just fall in unfortunate fashion, last game of them. Do you feel like Mike Greer isn't talked about enough amongst just whether or not the general manager of the year consideration, or just, you know, do you feel like all the good work he's done is talked about enough?
I think he's been acknowledged pretty well in the hockey community, where people know what's up. I think when you look at the way the Sharks were pushing for years and years and years, trying to, you know, bring a core to the end goal, like win a Stanley Cup, like they're in the playoff mix. They're a good team for a long time. And generally you're not drafting very high during that time. And you hope for certain picks to work out, but sometimes you let high end talents not going to be developing, right? And so I give Mike a lot of credit. He had to trade away a lot of guys who are high end talent and still had a lot of highway or a lot left on the road there. So
the contracts he tossed out are great.
Yeah. I mean, just like, but you look at a guy like Hurdle, who I think, how many years did he have in his deal when he moved into to Vegas? It's just like, it, you know, you kind of think, well, he's sort of young enough where maybe he can hang around, but it's like he had to make kind of these decisions about what is going to be the core. And obviously getting very fortunate to get Macklin Celebrini. Yeah. Like, let's just be honest, like if they make the playoffs, I mean, he has to be the Hart Trophy winner. And I'm not even being like a homer for the team I'm working for. Like, honestly, the amount of points he has in their wins, when they win a game, like he has points. Like it's not even close to being spread around. Like it's amazing to watch a 19-year-old kid do that. I mean, it's not many guys have done that and carried that share of the points on the team. It's amazing. So we certainly got lucky with Macklin, but when you watch like moving Carlson's contract years ago and like not only having one first round pick in a draft, like we're doubling up many years. And again, this year, I think there's two first round picks, maybe one this year, but most of the years Mike's been there, he's had two first round picks. He's had multiple second round picks. Like he's been able to kind of take a shot for some high end talent. So, but he had to create that situation by making smart trades and trying to bring on good veterans that for a year or two, they work out well. And then you make a smart trade, send those veterans off for a good return.
Just as much as the draft picks and the contracts, mm-hmm. you know, just setting his organization up for success. What makes Macklin Celebrini so special in your mind?
Well, he's got a motor on him, right? Like, it's just unbelievable watching him in a shift or in a game, the amount of minutes he plays and the way he plays them. Like, it just doesn't seem like he's coasting while he's processing. Like, I think you see a lot of guys that kind of will have to get above a play and kind of read the play and decide what to do. And like, he's working up and through all of that all the time. And he's also thinking about ways to get open and who's open. And it's just, you don't see many guys who can, guys, I don't know how to describe, like maybe like a hummingbird, just constantly like moving quickly. It's crazy.
How bright is the future in the goaltending department in San Jose?
Really good. We feel good about Askarov. So a first round pick goalie who was going to kind of get stuck in a log jam in Nashville. So Mike went out and separated him, got him over. And like any goalie, I think he had a couple flashes this year where he was really strong. And then we were fortunate. We traded for Nedeljkovic to come over from Pittsburgh at the time. And we were trying to identify and bring on the right kind of goalie to kind of be a good pro, good mentor, and also, you know, help win some games. And it ended up having to be a trade because, you know, we just saw him as the kind of guy we wanted, and they've been a good partnership. You know, they've put up some good wins for the team, and it's not easy. You know, there's still the youthful mistakes, and there's still the games that you look and you say, oh man, that was just not a good night for the Sharks. You know, there's a lot too many mistakes. But then there's nights where they just, you know, I think kind of like with the Ducks, you know, their offensive side, you're just kind of like, well, they just create so much. Like, they're going to have nights where they put up four or five goals and it's not even going to be a problem for them. But there are still those moments where, you know, I think coming from my generation where you see the balance of having to play a complete game and in the defensive side and really the defense ruled way, way back, you know, where there's a lot more 2-1, 3-2 games. But I think you see it now and you have to kind of blend into the new stuff. And so, yeah, Sharks got a lot of good to look forward to. And we're still hoping to kind of build the goaltending, you know, over the next few years. Cause he is, you know, Askie's really is his first year in the NHL having to be the guy, right? So that's not just something that clicks in right away. And you see these flashes from him where he's played really well and hoping to just ramp up that consistency over the next couple of years. But right now we're in a dogfight to get in the playoffs. So it's been fun to watch.
If you love today's content, then I'd love for you to take a trip over to VGHC.com or stop by their Costa Mesa flagship store to see what the club is cooking up for hockey fans worldwide. That in Djokovic, his story is pretty cool. He was a kind of pay to play. He was in the pay to play system in the, I think it was USPHL, if I'm not mistaken, but just earned his stripes. You know what I mean? Like just grinded each, you know, started, you know, tier 3, tier 2 type of situation. Brandon Bullock's actually another guy who played in the play to play type of system. And so it's a cool story. So Mr. Goalie and Dev Coach for the San Jose Sharks, what do you like most about what you do now?
The cool thing for me is I get to kind of blend almost every goalie position in the NHL team. So we have Evgeny Nabokov as head of the department. So
what a name, right? Evgeny
Nabokov. Nabby. Yeah, wow. Nabby, I think Ducks fans would recognize him for sure because, you know, he was their goalie for quite a long time, had a great career with them. And then Thomas Spear is the full-time NHL goalie coach. So Nabby and the two of us, we all kind of take in what needs to be done with the goaltenders and divide it up. So Thomas has got the NHL full time and we all kind of share the pro scouting. And then Nabby's development with me, but he's focused on the American League. in their stuff. And then I got the guys who aren't really signed yet, and I scout for the draft. So we got a first round goalie from last year, Ravensbergen. So Josh is in the middle of playoffs right now with Prince George and the Cougars. They're up 3-2 on their series. He's up every night. These look sharp to me. So that's been the fun part, is like I get to, you know, mentor him, go up there every about 6 weeks or so. I'll take time to go work with him either in string of practice and catch a game, or I'll go to a city where they're going to be for a stretch so I can get some time. And yeah, just trying to help him build out his game and prepare him for each step. And yeah, and we got another guy, Christian Kirsch. I think the Rangers just punched their ticket to round two. So he's in the OHL playoffs right now. So it's been fun. And we got the draft coming up in a few months. So I've been prepping for that, doing interviews, tracking goalies, watching film, talking to agents, talking to their coaches, talking to the goalies, trying to get to know them a little bit and see if they're the kind of player we would want to have with the Sharks.
Does Noreen, your wife, like post-career management Millsy or playing career Millsy better? Or she just loves Millsy and it don't matter?
Well, I think considering how, you know how it goes for the wives, it's a hard profession when you're playing. You're constantly gone or occupied. So I think she probably appreciates me being around a little bit. But she definitely must have liked me a little bit to stick around during the hockey career, because like I said, you're gone a lot. A lot falls on the girls, especially if you have kids.
She didn't kick you to the curb just yet. So
no,
we're in the clear.
5 years retired and we've been all right. So
thanks, Noreen.
Yeah, been good.
Any rage bait playoff predictions? Maybe just get people, I don't know, maybe you've had something up your sleeve, Millsy. I have no clue. Before we get to some great fan questions, any playoff predictions that are just like you think just, I don't know, would be front page news?
Oh, I don't know, bud.
Off the board picks?
I don't think I have anything crazy. I think the Avalanche maybe haven't been as tight recently as people maybe think, so maybe they're
a couple key injuries too recently.
Maybe they're gettable in those early rounds. I think sadly for everybody, again, the Oilers will be a pain in the butt.
Well,
because they just have that kind of team that can just explode at any time. I would like to see the Sharks and Ducks go head to head at some point. That'd be nice.
That'd be very nice.
Yeah, that'd be cool.
Both places we know would be rocking. Okay, let's get to some fan questions here. Ryan Warby, he asks, favorite moment of his professional career. So, Millsy, favorite moment of your career? Of your illustrious career.
I always have a tough one. Like, I think just the playoff runs in Buffalo were fun. It was just a great team, just great teammates. Just it was that feeling, especially in Buffalo. I think you can, the energy, and thank God they're feeling that again. Like I've been hearing just stories from back in Buffalo. I was there in January for some stuff, for a charity event I put on, and a little reunion with the boys. But the excitement was building then. I can only imagine now. But when the weather turns nice in Buffalo and you're still playing hockey, it's pretty awesome. Like to go from the cold upstate New York weather to sitting on a patio in between playoff rounds, knowing you just moved on from round one to round two, was a nice feeling.
They were emotional out of the gate, the fan base there in Buffalo, but it's just, you know, when the team's hot, they're it's like ride or die for them. You know what I mean? Like, so they were, you know, there's the early season frustrations, but the place was still, you know, they're just emotional. And then boom, they're getting rewarded for just sticking through. So
sticking through 14-year drought.
Well, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah,
but it just goes, it's a testament to the fan base for sure.
No, they're loyal. They deserve it. And I'm happy for the fans, honestly, because they do show up. And it was getting to the point where I think they were getting a little frustrated. They just want to see good hockey. They want to feel proud, and they they definitely got it now.
And that was from Ryan.Warby. How about Dez93@Dez93? Best, oh, this is a good one. Best Willie Desjardins story.
I just think he's like the most positive person like in the world. Couldn't he been? I think things, if they were going sideways, he would just be like, ah, yeah, you guys are just great people and you're a good hockey player. And I just think he was a little bit misunderstood in that, like, my favorite thing was when he just kind of get himself kind of rocking.
Oh, yeah, rocking back and forth. Oh, yeah, he would love hearing that.
Yeah. Yeah. I thought that was
a classic.
Good. Yeah. No, but I think he's just a good man, right? Like, yeah. I think sometimes it's just tough timing. I think in the NHL, you have a lot of alpha dogs, right? Like, guys who want to constantly push. And, like, I think that if you have the right group and he was going to provide the I don't know the right way to put it. I think if a team needed if a team knew what it was doing and just needed that little bit of confidence, like maybe like a team that had been burned a little bit, but they're really good.
Yeah.
They just need a little bit of their tires pumped, like kind of perfect coach.
Yeah. 100%.
But I think when you just need that little bit of accountability, he's just so nice.
Yeah.
I think if he could do it again, I think he would probably hold a harder line on a few things. But again, tough situation. Like, you know, when we were playing together, it was definitely sliding to a rebuild before anybody knew it. I think that first year I was there, we were a playoff team. We had a lot of veterans and it turned into like a younger group.
Mm-hmm.
And I think the expectation was that it wasn't really a rebuild in Vancouver. And they're kind of everyone's expecting, hey, this is going to go great. And it was just not enough experience in that locker room overall. So I think that's the tough spot for a coach.
Well, my favorite, I have a couple, I think. One of my favorite quotes from Willie is, don't be denied. I just always like when he referenced it in several different scenarios over the course of just our relationship. But I mean that, like, won't be denied. I thought that was a good one. And how bad do you want it? He would always say, you know, how bad do you want it, which I thought was great. He called me out when I wasn't shooting enough pucks. He's just like, Emmer, how many times have you been hitting the you remember the fan, the shooting thing up in the upper concourse there?
Yeah.
Wasn't getting in there enough. And then after that convo, I definitely hit it more. Yeah, no, another, I think we were in PA. This is when I was playing for the Hap my first year. And he was irate. I don't know what the situation was. And he was trying to draw something on the clipboard and he was rocking, but he was doing the rock back and forth. And the paper fell out, but the whole like rubber, the blacktop was just so wet from just like, we just returned and got on and off. It was just all wet. So he picked the paper up like mid rant and it was just shredded. And just, ah! Oh my gosh, it was what a time. No, we appreciate you, Will. Keep doing great things up in the Hat. And they got those the brothers there, just
the brothers
absolutely dominating. So good stuff there. I asked, it got zero traction. I said, I'll start it off. Millsy, you haven't ever been a part of any rookie hazing, have you? And I think people like took it seriously. It got zero traction, zero likes. It was the only it was the only comment that didn't get a like. I'm like, do these people think I'm serious? Just like, people want to protect Ryan Miller's name. Of course, that's not going on. How about this one? For the gearheads.
We had to buy a bunch of dinner for the boys. That's the hazing you get to when you're in the.
Oh, I'm sure NHL. It's financial. Yeah, yeah. Get money on the board. But it's just the classic.
They hit you in the wallet.
Yeah.
Or money on the board. Yeah.
As devastating.
If you go anywhere near anywhere you played or your hometown. I mean, you can be hundreds of miles away. If that's the closest you're going to get, they're dragging money out of you.
Give your per diem to Millsy now. For the gearheads, what was your favorite set of pads growing up and as a pro?
Growing up, I think, the coolest thing I got to do was like in juniors, I was wearing Vaughn and I ordered a set because I was gotten taller and like, couldn't really find a set that would fit me in the store. So I was like, my dad's like, let's just order some, make sure they fit. And so I ordered like these red pads with the iceberg white on the bottom with like some black highlights. We were playing for the Sioux Indians, and I thought those were pretty cool. And then when I got to college, I kind of carried it over. So I wore the icebergs again. And then, so I stopped wearing Vaughn my first year. I got kind of like, I was wearing Vaughn to start my rookie year. And in Buffalo, they were just like, you look small out there. You got to switch equipment. Like literally like the first month in.
Just belittling you.
I was like, oh, wow. I'm just going to go ahead pro hockey and switch a bunch of my equipment around. Okay. And I did that, and I didn't go back to Vaughn for a while. But so like my last set I wore with the Ducks was like a throwback to like juniors in college, where I had the icebergs. So that was cool.
The icebergs, I love that.
Cool to go back to that. Yeah.
Overall thoughts. This is a side note, side question for me. Overall thoughts on Brian. They're always just loud. You know what I mean? I've thought some designs are just epic and pretty iconic. Some are just like whatever, but they're always, did you like that loud look? Were you ever a fan of Brian's?
Yeah, I think, well, I wore something similar when I was younger. I wore the Heaton, which is Heaton and Brian.
What a name.
They were really similar kind of cut at the time. And then I just kind of went towards a different pad. Every company to me felt just different enough. I think at one point I tried some stuff later in my career with Brian's, but I think I just got to the point where I was using stuff that was just basically cloned older styles that I had evolved only slightly, and all this new stuff I could, like the stuff they're wearing now, like I don't put it on, but I see the kids I'm coaching or doing whatever, and like I don't think I could even function in these pads. The way they have to like move around would just feel like it was just something completely different for me.
The rags to riches story from Heaton to the show. That was from Devastator. So it's not, so Devastator 39. It's not Dominator. It's Devastator 39. Thanks, Devastator 39. How about from SMR 716? Favorite place for wings in Buffalo?
Well, that's a tough one. There's a lot of good spots. Like to go to Gabriel's Gate. Give you a little.
I'm shaking my head like, yeah, I know, like, what you're talking about, but I well, hey, if Melzy says it's good, it's good.
If you're on the road with the boys, and check it out.
Because I was going to say, because I went to Anchor Bar, right?
Mm-hmm. The original.
The original. It was fantastic. Like, I didn't think just by biting in one of those, like, it could get any better, to be honest with you. But I got to check another place out now, I guess. So Mark.Ellis0, he asked, what was the Olympic run in 2010 like, mentally, as well as the outside noise heading into the gold medal game against an unreal Canadian team? Who was his top three favorite teammates in the NHL? Wow.
Whoa.
Loaded question. Let's hear it.
The Olympics is cool. The way they had set up in Vancouver was, I mean, you've been there. So really those roads down by like Yale Town were kind of like boxed off in a way. So it was only like foot traffic in a lot of spots.
Foot traffic wise, just jam packed nuts, right?
Yeah. A lot of people having a lot of fun, but, the way they had it set up was, we had a lot of afternoon games, so we would finish up and then we'd be kind of like either bus, or you could kind of like meet up with your family and go walk, kind of do whatever you wanted, but you'd go meet your family at wherever they had dinner set up for everybody. And it was kind of cool. They had a kind of communal where everybody could be, you could do your thing with the team or the family could be included. And then you could, like, we just get done and we kind of walk around and just take it all in. And it was cool. Just being around that energy and being around the city. I think that actually kind of helped with the whole experience. Honestly, you felt like it was just, you know, cool to be a part of. It wasn't like overwhelming where you're just sitting in a room, then you sit at the rink and sit in a room. And like sometimes, you know, hockey can kind of turn into that where it's just like you're isolating yourself and then you go to the rink. And this kind of felt more just like you wanted to take in the whole experience. So from that point of view, enjoyed that a lot. And obviously it was a big, you know, a big, big moment for our group. And I thought it was one of the better games I'd been a part of. I think you could argue it was one of the better games until very recently, in that, you know, history and that rivalry. So, proud to be a part of it. Obviously didn't go our way, but, you know, felt good about the game overall. And that's a tough one with the teammates.
Well, and that's an asterisk too, because I'm in there.
I know.
I'm top three, but just go with another top three. I'm in there, but just go with another top three.
See, but then I have so many guys that you're leaving.
Or is it, are you saying it's Emmer? You're just taking, I'm taking all three slots or no?
You could. I mean, you talk enough.
I always keep it entertaining. There's no dull moments, folks.
No, I had some good.
Doris?
Doris.
Doris. Sad. What a
Doris, beauty. What's up, buddy? Yeah, we'd like to have some. We like to have some intense discussions over the years.
That's great.
Yeah. I don't know. Let's keep to the goalies. Patty Lalime was a great partner. Ty Conklin, Jocelyn Thibault, John Gibson.
Great.
Got some good partners.
Hey, we'll take that. That's a dandy of a list right there. What was it like playing youth travel hockey? And we touched on this a little bit, but how different was it training as a goalie? And by what age were you fully committed to playing net?
Well, I think once I finally got started, in my mind, I was a goalie. So probably just about eight, turning 9 years old.
Fairly late bloomer, probably not bloomer, but fairly late in getting into, probably then on average, right? And I think that's a learning lesson just for the listeners that Ed Jovanovski started at like 12 and then he was like the first overall Bantam draft pick like a couple of years later. So it just doesn't matter. What age? Like at the end of the day.
I mean, if you're going to commit to it and you have some proclivity to do the position, I don't know that it truly matters. But I think for me, it was important to just understand the game. I think I'm glad that it took a minute to kind of be like, oh, I like goalie. But not that it's completely the wrong thing to do starting earlier, but I think that there is an argument to be made for just playing the other positions and really playing the game and then putting yourself in the net. I think it definitely helped me for sure. As far as understanding the game and then honestly, just knowing what I liked. I think that there's always, I think knowing what I wanted to do from a young age was probably not the norm. It just, I think mixed with my personality, like I kind of stick to things and kind of little OCD on certain things. So it's like, of course I picked something and just stuck to it, but not everybody's wired that way. And I think that, you know, you kind of encourage kids to just, try things out, have some fun and then really go towards the thing that you're going to have fun with, because it's not about just being like, oh God, I'm good at this, but I'm going to torture myself because I might be a pro. It's like, I think you can, I hope you would agree that the reason you become a pro is because you enjoy it. And you have that enjoyment about the pursuit of becoming better. It's not just because you're good and then you just stick to it. It's like you have to truly have a passion for something.
Well, you heard it here first, folks. Some in-depth insight from Millsy. Okay, so this is maybe less of a question, but this at you can call me Bob96. He writes,
all right, Bob.
I'm never going to forget the 25th anniversary home opener. Miller walked out towards the end, and for some odd reason, not a lot of people were hounding him for pictures and autographs. This fan base, yada, yada, yada. Anyways, he comes walking by me and stopped him and let him know that he was the number one goalie for me as a kid. No shock there. And he ended up having a conversation with me for about 10 minutes, asked me for a pick. And then he asked if I wanted my stick signed. No shock. Miller is a top tier human, one of the greatest goalies of all time. And we are so lucky we had the tandem of him and Gibby. I don't even need to, we already knew that at you can call me Bob96. Thank you for the positive message. And what an experience for you, Millsy. We already knew that. Okay. We already knew that about Millsy. Great guy. Millsy has got to jet out of here. So we're going to try to wrap this up as quick as possible. So Real quick, thoughts on this current Duck squad? Just to close things out here.
Yeah. Well, I think they are a dangerous club. They got some well-sized forwards who can really move, and they got good vision. They're playing a fast brand of hockey, and love to see it. I'm glad they're back in the mix. They're a dangerous team, and it's tough to some days work for the Sharks and then have to be like looking at the standings and just kind of be like, I don't know what to do. I think the Sabres were in town and I came to the game just so I could say hi to everybody on the Ducks and the Sabres. And it went to overtime and I was like, this is great. Overtime's perfect. But that's how I feel with a lot of the matchups right now. Just want to see the boys get the points, want to see them get advanced in the standings, and I want to see the Ducks in the playoffs. I know this another great group of fans that I got a pleasure of playing in front of, and the excitement seems to be high.
You heard that, folks. Millsy, he's on the Rivals squad. That's okay, because he's still rooting for the Ducks.
Correct.
And that's a testament to Millsy. How is the trial run on Eat 'Em Up here today? How do you feel about your first appearance on Eat 'Em Up?
Feel good. Very natural. Yeah.
No. I'm glad we made it warm for you and welcoming. Well, that's a wrap with Ryan Miller. What a guy. What a story. And you deserve everything that you've accomplished throughout your career, Millsy.
Well, I appreciate it. Thanks for being there.
No, I will continue to have my pom-poms out for Millsy and cheer from afar. Just not against the San Jose Sharks. Come on, that's a non-negotiable. That goes without saying. Okay, that's another wrap of Eat 'Em Up. We'll catch you next time.
This is an Anaheim Ducks original production on DuckStream.